Okay, you followed Tia's advice, you've shelled out for great cheese, now you're home, and now what? How do you store it? Is that smell okay? America's Test Kitchen has answers to these and many more questions, and Sally Swift asked Jack Bishop all of them.
Hey Jack, great to have you back.
Great to chat with you, Sally.
So I have to tell you, our family has this tradition around the table when we get together, and we call it Lucy Questions, which is the name of our youngest. And you essentially go around the table and everyone takes a turn and gets to ask the table a question. And it can be anything, like what superpower would you want, to everyone is drowning and who would you save, to what is the food you cannot live without. And it is amazing how many people say cheese. It is really a spectacular invention. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're going to force me to take three foods with me, I mean, do we count wine as a food? Because I want to take wine, cheese, and bread.
You and the rest of us. So I want to talk today about the cheese element of that trio and about how we should be handling our cheese at home. Because I feel like, I mean, let me just start at the very top. Like, is plastic wrap okay for cheese?
Not really. So the paper that you get at a nice cheese shop actually does two things. It prevents the cheese from drying out quickly, but also allows it to breathe. You know, the cheese is continuing to live. The mold is doing its thing, and plastic wrap traps all that moisture on there. So you get the cheese going rotten faster, and it can get moldy spots. And at home, if you don't have cheese paper, which pretty much nobody does, then you can replicate it by using waxed paper or parchment and then wrapping that loosely in aluminum foil. And that two layers sort of protects the cheese from drying out. At the same time, it allows it to breathe a little bit.
Okay, that makes total sense. And why do some, particularly expensive cheeses, sometimes come with such a strong smell of ammonia when you unwrap them?
I know that you are now wrapping your cheese in plastic, Sally. You're caught. So this is really fascinating. So surface-ripened cheeses like a Brie or a Camembert, you know, that mold is continuing to interact with the milk proteins and producing flavor compounds, and they're getting trapped by the plastic. And so you get this hit of ammonia. Now, if you unwrap the cheese, which you should be, and letting it sit out for an hour, it should dissipate. I mean, if you're still smelling ammonia an hour later after unwrapping the cheese, it's gone bad and you need to throw it out. But that hit of something that's not very good will dissipate, and just let the cheese breathe a little bit before you eat it.
I've been suffocating my cheeses. It's absolutely terrible. What about freezing cheese? Is there cheese that you can freeze?
Yeah, I didn't believe this when we did this in the test kitchen, because I was like, you don't freeze cheese. I mean, that's a, you know, that's an anathema to a beautiful piece of cheese.
Right.
But the reality is there are times where we, you know, we're going away and we've got cheese that we want to protect, or you see a great deal. And so there are certain cheeses. We found Camembert, Brie, goat cheese all freeze quite well.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and you just wrap them in plastic. In this case, the plastic is okay. And then throw them into a Ziploc bag and then defrost them in the fridge. And they're fine a month, 2 months later. The drier cheeses, like a cheddar or Parmesan, they suffer a bit. The flavor is off and the texture really isn't the same. But, you know, if you see a two-for-one special for Camembert, you can certainly freeze one of them and it'll be fine for a couple months in your freezer.
Wow, that is exactly opposite of what I would think. I would think that the harder cheeses would do better. That's very interesting. Let's talk about harder cheeses. So let's talk about Parmigiano. Should we be buying grated Parmigiano or not at all? Never.
There are two things that I worry about. One is, what are you really buying? You know, is it the good stuff or is it a substitute?
Who knows, right?
But the other issue is, when was it grated? And so this applies whether you're buying it at the supermarket or you want to pre-grate the cheese at home and then throw it in the fridge, is that we found after a week you can taste the difference, which is that it's everything is muted. The flavors are just not as good. And after 2 weeks, it really doesn't taste very good at all. And so, you know, if your supermarket is grating their Parmesan and it's been sitting there for a month, well, I don't know. It's
right.
You know, it's basically sawdust with a little bit of cheese flavor.
Yep, that makes sense. And if we are going to splurge and buy the queen of all cheeses, Parmigiano Reggiano, is there, you know, you see the pieces with the rind on it. Is there a best part of the wheel that you should be looking for, a piece from the middle or from the sides?
Yeah, I love, we did this test where we took a whole big wheel, you know, it's 80 pounds,
yeah.
And basically think we're like geologists up in Greenland taking core samples from different parts of the cheese, and it turns out the corner pieces are the best. And the science here is fascinating. So you think about like a big turkey that cooks from the outside in, and you're waiting and waiting for that big roast or the turkey to heat up in the center while the outside is way overcooked. The aging process works the same way. It starts on the outside of the wheel. Mm. And aging is what makes Parmigiano so incredibly delicious. Mm-hmm. And so those exterior portions, especially a corner, which is, you know, is on the exterior of the cheese, gets more aging. And you get more of those little crystals. We actually measure the crystals in core samples from the corner versus the center of the cheese, and found twice as many of those little crystals, the thing that makes it so delicious in those exterior pieces. So you definitely want the rind. And if you see two rind, you know, on two different sides, then you know, well, that's the most aged part of the wheel.
And you can use those rinds, right? That is something that I do stash in my freezer, our Parmigiano rinds.
Yes, never, ever throw out a rind from a nice Parmigiano. Put it in a pot of beans, minestrone soup. It adds so much flavor. I personally use them instead of commercial stocks. If you just want to use water in a vegetable and bean soup but feel like, well, the water's going to be kind of bland, that rind really adds a lot of flavor. It will soften up, release a lot of flavor, and then, of course, toss it out before you serve the soup. But it's delicious for that purpose.
So, Jack, is there a difference between using a rasp grater, you know, the finer one, versus a box grater when you're measuring out a half a cup of grated cheese?
Yeah, I've spent way too much of my adult life thinking about how to write a recipe, but it's true, as have my colleagues. And one of the things we have noticed is, you know, with the introduction of those rasp-style graters, that suddenly everybody's grated Parmesan or Asiago was a lot fluffier. And so, in fact, an ounce of cheese grated on that rasp-style grater probably is about a half a cup volume. That same ounce is only a quarter cup on a box grater. And so if you're measuring by volume, you know, you're using your cup measures rather than your scale, you know, you can either have half as much or twice as much cheese as you really want in the recipe. And so it's a good reason to, yet again, use your scale whenever you can when you are in the kitchen.
Okay, so Jack, my last question, pick your favorite cheese and how do you like to use it?
Well, that's a little like asking me to pick my favorite children. I mean, you know, I have two, and I'm not doing that. But how about I pick my favorite simple recipe and the cheese that you use for it?
Okay.
I love, as you know, Sally, all things Italian. And in the Northeast, in Friuli, they make this little cocktail aperitif called Frico. It's like a thin, crispy wafer that has one ingredient, cheese. The local cheese is Montasio. You can use an aged Asiago. And you just simply grate it, and then you spread it out in a nonstick pan, cook it till it's brown on the first side, then slip a spatula underneath, and brown it on the second side. 2, 4, 6 minutes, depending on how hot your pan is. And oh my heavens, it's just, you've cooked something, but it's still 100% cheese.
And nothing better with a beautiful glass of wine. What a great idea. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Sally.
Jack Bishop is Chief Creative Officer at America's Test Kitchen, and you can find the recipe he talked about for Frico at splendidtable.org. And if you make it, you should try this. After you make your Frico, like when it's still warm in the pan, take it out and drape it over an upturned bowl. And it'll harden into a crispy little cheese basket that you can stick like Caesar salad into or whatever, because I used to work for a wedding caterer in Michigan in the 90s, and people would go bananas for crispy cheese baskets. Like, I don't know if I can recommend like tying green beans with chives into little bundles anymore, but crispy cheese baskets, still pretty good.